definitely a somber gospel. And like I said, like, this is the fifth week of Lent. We're almost there, so there's a little bit of a change. And you cover the statues and you cover the crucifixes. It's like the crucifixion hasn't happened yet. You're close to it, and you're trying to have that. We're very Catholic in our worship. We understand that we are both spirit, and we pray spiritually, but also body. And so we have a sensory element to our worship. We do things that are visible, and we change things, colors, whatever else. Some of the music is sometimes a little more somber, or maybe Latin, whatever, the Agnus Dei. Like, these things that help us, like, can I even in a bodily way, even in a sensory way, get into the mysteries of Easter, prepare ourselves, soul and body, for the mysteries of Easter. So it's kind of weird. You're looking at, there's no crucifix. Jesus hasn't died yet. Jesus is like a nobody. He's just so far a prophet who does great miracles, but he says some amazing things about himself, but nothing's been done that really kind of confirms everything. He hasn't died, much less risen from the dead. And therefore, anyone who's died is just a mummy in the tomb. There's no hope yet. There's no heaven yet. The gates of heaven are closed, and there's really like, okay, so you die and that's it. He hasn't risen yet. So you're trying to get into, like, why does it matter that he rose from the dead? Why does Easter matter? So you're trying to help your body and mind get into, oh, it really matters that he died and rose from the dead. For himself and for all of us, the victory over sin and death is a real victory, a transformative victory. Even our church is sort of transformed. On Good Friday, you see the crucifix, he dies on Good Friday, and then on Easter Sunday, the statues are unveiled. Heaven is granted to us, opened for us. But we do ponder the theme, especially the second reading in the gospel. Our salvation, it passes through the cross. Our salvation is one where the Savior suffers. Those who would follow him, where I am, there also my servant will be. Whoever follows me must be where I am. And sometimes that's a place of suffering. Sometimes obeying the will of the Father, yes, it brings the ultimate goodness, but sometimes it's not easy. You have the second letter to the Hebrews, whether it was St. Paul writing it or not, he was informed about Jesus in Gethsemane. And he expresses, like, Jesus cried out with loud cries and tears to the Father. Our Savior suffered the burdens of that obedience to the Father's will. He himself said, right, in the gospel, my heart is troubled now. But what should I say? Father, don't let the grain of wheat die in the furrow and bear much fruit. Spare the grain so that it would be just a grain, a seed. No. For this purpose, I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. I will go forward. Let me die in the furrow to bear much fruit. And let those who follow me be willing to do the same. It's very sobering. This is a part of our faith where sometimes the prosperity gospel that kind of tells us, oh, no, if you're a good person, you won't suffer. God wouldn't let that happen. If you follow all the rules and get everything right, you'll be blessed forever and nothing bad ever happens to you. Suffering should be just for those who break the rules. And since you've done everything right, when suffering happens to you, I mean, you must have done something wrong. That's not our gospel. That is not the way of Jesus Christ. And our Lord embraces the cross, embraces the difficulties that come. And in this theme of today's liturgy, we are challenged to ponder and imitate him. How do I handle when God's will for me in my prayer, in my spiritual direction, in my conscience, that little whisper that says, do this thing. If it's easy, no problem. But when it challenges me to get out of my comfort zone, hey, volunteer to teach catechesis. No. No, that must be someone else's voice. God would never ask something hard for me. On the contrary, the church is teaching. Some of them are easy. Some of them are hard. Forgive your enemy. Love your enemy. And especially today, the controversial, some of the marriage issues, like, sometimes our heart is like Jesus struggling. My heart is troubled now. This is hard to live the way I'm called to live. But our Lord shows us the beauty of obedience, the beauty of humble, trusting, loving obedience to the Father. As a son devoted to his Father, Daddy, if you ask it of me, I will do it. Even if it's hard. Not my will, but your will be done. We're invited this weekend to really get into that theme, to really assimilate more that theme of our Christian and Catholic faith. Let us learn it from our Lord himself. He doesn't just tell us to do it. He does it first. And whoever follows me, whoever serves me, must follow me, he says. Amen? You gotta be kidding me. That's not even 7 minutes. So do ponder that. That is the theme of the gospel. We do want to take that in. But we asked this weekend, that the pastors are asked to share with each of their communities. We mentioned St. Michael in Parity. A lot of changes in the archdiocese. Jesus was obedient. The priests and religious are called to live that life of obedience as a model for all Christians who are called to live in the same obedience. And so a week ago, or 2 weeks ago now, I got a letter from the Archbishop after back and forth, lots of discussion, shared ideas, pros and cons. He did ask if I would, in July, take an assignment full-time at the seminary. I didn't know what it was, but they emailed all the seminarians yesterday, and so I got that email. I was like, oh, that's what I'm doing. So it's coordinator of the spiritual formation for the seminary at Notre Dame. So pray for the seminarians. Jesus, that's a joke. But anyway, pray for the seminarians. They're going to need it. Pray for me. I'm at peace with this. My heart right now is like with Jesus. My heart is obviously troubled right now, but my mind understands. My mind sees the whole picture, and actually, in all honesty, this is probably something really good for me. After 10 years plus of parish ministry, it'll be a very different pace of life, and I probably need it. And so I'm trying to be open to it. My mind is accepting God is behind this. I know He is. You are going to get a beautiful pastor from St. Margaret Mary in Slidell. He's the associate there. Father Vincent Nguyen is about 37, I think. He's young. He's younger than me. He's from Vietnam, but he speaks very good English after the last many years here in the States. And I even share with the Archbishop, if you have to make a change, this would be a fantastic parish for a first-time pastor. So you have been a gift to me and have put up with all my issues of my steep learning curve and becoming a pastor. Thank you for that. You will be a gift for Father Vincent. As a pastor coming in, learning the ropes, I shared this with others. Like, I envy him, the family he is getting, because you have been a great, great family to me. And I'm very grateful for that. And like I've said many times, and Father Michael Luxbacher, when he was here for the month in November, December, coined this, and he's very right. Thanks to you all, Holy Family runs like a well-oiled machine. It will be a good transition for Father when he comes in, and he can count on you all stepping up, owning the roles that you have in this parish. If you're on the fence, like, jump in and play a role, because you make the difference. The parish is not the pastor. The church is not the priest. It's all of us. And this is a community I'm so grateful. So many have stepped forward to allow it to run the way it's supposed to, more and more. We still have a long way to go, but seriously, I'm so grateful that it really is a well-oiled machine, and he will have that support. You will be a tremendous gift to Father Vincent. People share with me, ask me, like, okay, so Father, how do you feel? Like, what do you think? I'm like, well, right now I don't feel anything. It's kind of numb. But I do. I shared my gratitude, like I said, for so many things. I love y'all, and I've been so, so blessed for the last 6 years. Being here. These next 3 months are going to go by probably faster than they should. But I'm here, and I look forward to whatever we can do to bring the parish to the next level and have it ready for Father when he comes. He and I are meeting after Easter, and he'll be here probably a few times between now and July. But also, I share with you maybe a couple of things that, not that this is a State of the Union address, but I do think there might be some things that we can realize we're still kind of stumbling over a couple of things. If we could zero in on maybe two obstacles, we would help bring this parish to a much higher level. And the first one is this communication. It's a pet peeve of mine, but like, communication. I don't mean the quantity of communication, because I am grateful people have stepped up, and we communicate now in several media to get a word out for things that are happening here. I'm really grateful for that. Not the quantity, but the quality. In other words, when things are said, that they would be said well, and that they would be understood, or where there's a misunderstanding, that we would address it quickly, that we would like not get stuck by some misperception, or Father said something, so I'm mad at what he said, so I'm not talking to him, or the church said this, and I misunderstood it, or I understood something bad, and it bothered me, so I don't say anything. No, say something, like talk through it. Overcome the misunderstandings before they happen. No, I'm glad you heard I was going to be Bishop of Houma Thibodaux, but I'm not. Thanks for bringing that to my attention. But the number of misunderstandings, even small ones, that just seem to cause a lot of havoc that didn't have to cause that, and could have easily been overcome if someone would have like called, "Hey, Father, I heard you say this and it kind of bothered me. Is that what you meant?" I think 9 times out of 10, the answer would have been, "No, actually, thanks for saying that. That's not what I meant. And we're actually not going that way, we're going this way." But it's just a little effort, like mature men and women, and you talk about this a lot in marriage, like raise your hand if you have some communication issues in marriage every now and then, right? You can do a good job of just trying to take the extra step. "I hear you saying this, is that what you mean?" Boy, you would avoid so many marital issues with that habit. And same in the church community, the church family. Our communication with a little bit of effort on both sides. I can learn to slow down when I preach. It's been a long process, but I'm working on it. And we can all work on improving the quality of our communication. The other thing I wanted to share for you to pray with, and I've said this before, especially when the Archdiocese had the Synod, and the first priority of the Archdiocesan-wide Synod was that we needed to form welcoming communities. And so I've shared a struggle here before. There are still many divisions in our community. Little groups of people, these are my friends over here, then there's another group over there, and I don't really know who they are, and I don't really care because that's not my people. And there's a retreat coming up, maybe it's a couples retreat or the Acts retreat that Bobby talked about, and my first question is not, "Wow, what an opportunity, let me see if God wants me to go, let me pray about it, discern it." My first question is, y'all know what it is, what's your first question? Who's going? Because if they're not my peeps, I'm not going. Can we just get away from that? Just get away from that kind of a my group versus your group. They initiated that great ministry in the church. I'm glad for them, but I don't support it because I don't know who they are, or I'd rather hang out over here with my friend. Like we need to get past that. It's not just in this community, although that's probably the most relevant for today, but y'all have heard me. Like, the parishes seem often divided. The parish and the other Catholic organizations, Christian organizations, we're not really living as one family. And I would really like to help us to overcome the walls that divide us. I'd really like to challenge us to be bridge builders. That's what a Catholic means, right? You're universal, you're all the whole thing together, which means you overcome the things that divide you. Social issues or parish issues or misunderstandings or cliques and groups of people, you overcome those things. I feel like you are one family, one body of Christ. You have one mission: to bring the person next to you, whether you know their name or not, a little closer to heaven. That's your mission. That's my mission. It's not just for me and my family and my best friends, but for all of us, everyone. I am called to bring as many people as I can a little closer to heaven. And you have one enemy. And it's not the person who Facebooked about you yesterday in a way you're kind of mad about. That's not the big deal. The one enemy is Satan. And what he's trying to do to stop your soul from growing closer to our Lord. What does he do? Division. Divides people. Divides hearts. So what do we need to do? Overcome division. So I really want to encourage us in that vein. Those two things that I think we really could work on a little bit. We've come a really long way. Look, the Acts retreat, the fire nights, like so many opportunities, even some of our men's groups, our mom's groups, other things, they are bringing people closer together who otherwise would not come together. So those kinds of things, I really want to say, especially moving forward, like an invitation to have everyone all in, a little more in that area, a little more trying to overcome those things that hold us back. And really remembering, lastly, that we are not the church of this building, Holy Family's brick church. Because one day the hurricane might hit here a little harder. You may not have that brick building anymore. Oh my gosh, there's no church. No, there is, and you're part of it. But you're also not the church of one pastor, Father so-and-so, Father Steve, Father Vincent. We follow the Holy Spirit. And like Jesus, we recognize the Father's will behind the things that happen around us, behind those Jesus has appointed for us. We trust in what the Father is doing. And we may struggle with our Lord. Today my heart is troubled, but what should I say? But we end also with the words of Jesus, "Father, not my will, but your will be done. I trust in you." And I do see, I know it will be, change is always hard. Y'all know that. So it will be probably bumpy at times. And you may be tempted, "Oh my gosh, well, let me step back and see how things are going to go before I commit." Please don't do that. Please be all the more in now. Keep the ball rolling even faster than it has been in the past. There are so many good things happening here. Commit. Be a part of it. If you're already a part of it, we're so grateful to that role that you play. If you're on the fence, jump fully in. The devil is going to try and take advantage. He always does. Let's not be caught unawares. Let's not be naive. And let's really get with what the Holy Spirit is trying to do in all that is happening in this community here at Holy Family, Father Vin at St. Anthony, and all the good things that God has planned for the community of Luling and the surrounding areas. Be a part of it. Don't hold back. And we trust in what the Father is doing as one body, with one mission, one family in Christ. Amen. Amen. Jesus, Mary, and Joseph.